Well, hey, good morning, Calvary Chapel, and here we are from Beth Chien, an amazing place, as you can see, gorgeous. And I want to point out a few things before we get into the message this morning, but before I do that, grab your Bibles and turn right now to Mark chapter 5 in your Bibles. Mark chapter 5, turn there, but as you're turning there, this is an amazing spot that I want to point out a few things. Number one, you're looking at an area here that dates back to over 3,000 years ago. In fact, this was under Egyptian rule, under Egyptian authority. This was the seat of an Egyptian civic outpost, obviously far from Egypt, but of course part of the Egyptian Empire. And this was a tremendous area for commerce. It was a tremendous area for spreading and continuing on the powers of Egypt. So imagine, right, where we're standing right now, the powers of Pharaoh ruled and reigned. Behind me, as you see the Agora, as it's called, the main avenue, if you were to follow that roadway all the way to the end and go out over that tell, that large bump behind me is a tell, which is still being excavated today. They are still finding out incredible pieces of material regarding the future, regarding the past, coming together. But behind me, as I was mentioning, if you were to follow that roadway, you would eventually go down into the Jordan River Valley, which is just several miles away behind us, and then you would cross over into the royal Hashemite kingdom of Jordan, or the kingdom of Jordan today under the rule of King Abdullah. So this is the geographical location. From where you and I were together last week at Mount Carmel, that would be behind you just a little bit, just several miles away. So again, Israel is so small and yet so full of tremendous geological and topographical change. It's really amazing. What else about this place? It has been subject to earthquakes. In fact, in 749 A.D., after Christ, an earthquake hit here, which was its doom. In 749, it was a massive earthquake. It was considered to be in the low sevens of magnitude. And what's amazing about it is that we know that it came from the Jordan, Transjordan Rift, the great earthquake fault that makes up the Jordan Valley. And that region comes out of the area of the Red Sea, down by Eilat. And it comes up through, like I said, Red Sea, Dead Sea, then up the Jordan River Valley, Sea of Galilee. All of this region is below sea level because you have two seismic plates that come up and are meeting one another. That causes a lot of geological upheaval and disturbances. And so in 749, there was a huge earthquake here. And this is what's amazing about it is, now you see these pillars standing up. Beyond those pillars are many pillars that they have yet to raise. What's important about that? When an earthquake hits, whatever the direction an item falls, it falls in the direction of the epicenter. And so we know for a fact that the earthquake came from the Transjordan River Valley, which is just beyond down there in the area of Jordan. So when that happened, this great earthquake, lots of people died, and this place was left abandoned after that. But then the magnitude and the influence, of course, of Greek and Roman architecture and influences here, and it's just an incredibly beautiful place to look at. On a clear day like we have today, you can see very, very well into Jordan. If you look a little bit to the north, you'll be able to look into the area, which would be Syria. Lebanon is to the north of us. It's just obviously very strategically positioned. Why? Because this was a great trade route also for not only the Egyptians, the Romans, the Byzantine Empire as well, the Ottoman Empire. And today, of course, regarding modern-day commerce, it's not that big of a deal, although it is a tremendous archaeological location and biblical. It is obviously of tremendous biblical influence. You are in the area of, I said, named Beth Chien, but this city was the chief city of what is known as the Decapolis. The Decapolis, Deca being 10, 10 cities, the 10 cities of the Roman Empire in this region during the time of Jesus. And so why is this important? Because this was the location of what is called Scythopolis. And Scythopolis is Bethshean. And so we're in the spot of Mark chapter 5. And again, you guys, the Bible coming to life, it is amazing. Mark chapter 5, and we'll look at it together, beginning at verse 1. It says, then they came to the other side of the sea, that is of the Sea of Galilee. I'll explain that in a moment. To the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out, that is Jesus, came out of the boat, immediately there met him a man who lived in the tombs with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains he had pulled apart, and the shackles were broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame the man. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out, cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him, and cried out with a loud saying, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, or I beg you, by God, that you do nothing to torment me. For he said unto him, Jesus spoke and said, come out of the man, unclean spirit. And when he had asked him, what is your name? The spirit answered and said to Jesus, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine, pigs, were feeding in the near mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine, and there were about 2,000 pigs in the herd that ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned it in the sea. Verse 14, so those who fed the swine fled and told in the city what had happened in their country. And they went out to see what had happened. And when Jesus being there, they saw him and the man who had been demon possessed in that region sitting clothed in his right mind. They were afraid. And those who saw it told how it happened to him and how he who had been demon possessed and with the swine was in his right mind. Verse 17, so they begged Jesus to depart from the region. And when he had gotten into a boat, who had been demon possessed, begged him that he might be with him. So the man wanted to follow Jesus. But verse 19 is remarkable to me. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you, how he has had compassion to you. And so this morning, you guys, we want to talk about something that is extremely important to all of us. Number one, as I mentioned, we are in Scythopolis, the 10 cities. Why and how does this fit? The text mentions in Mark chapter 5, Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. In fact, not only that, but it's on the side that was known as Gentile territory. You might pick up on that when we talk about the pigs, the swine feeding. That was unkosher. You could not have that going on. And so what was taking place? You've got Jesus who gets in a boat with his disciples and he heads over to the area of the Gadarenes, these pig herders, these unclean animals in this defiled, unclean region of where Gentiles had been dwelling. What happens? You've got Jesus making a specific trip to deliver one man from his dilemma. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. In fact, if you're taking notes this morning, I'm going to ask you to jot this down. It's all about pigs, people, and praise. And I want you to think about that for a moment. I want you to consider this man's situation for a lot of reasons, but one of them is this. For us who believe in the Lord already, we've been delivered from a lifestyle similar to this guy's. And I'll explain later in a moment. The message this morning is to encourage you to get the Word of God out to the world. Think about how you and I play a role in doing that. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, on Thursdays, on Tuesdays, many of us from the church come together and we are either in services or we're broadcasting messages around the world or We are going out in our communities sharing the love of Jesus, the forgiveness that comes through God and through the cross of Christ. Now, having said that, it's our duty, it's our love, and it's our response to what God has done to us that we would tell others about the love of God as well. So I want you to think about pigs, things that are unclean. We might consider people being unclean. And we might consider this, that the whole situation was turned around for praise. Point number one today is this, that this man, he was a long way from home. How do we know that? Because when that man was touched by the power of Jesus Christ, he left the Sea of Galilee. He asked Jesus, "Can I follow you?" Jesus said, "No." Isn't this amazing? This is the only event that I can think of in the Bible where Jesus tells a convert, "Don't follow me. I want you to go from me." Why? The man's got the news. He's a long way from home. This was his hometown. This was his home region. But keep this in mind, that being far from normal, the Greek world, the Greek empire was his life. But now he's in a distant region off the shore of the Galilees, dwelling among the dead in the tombs. And the poor man is eating and living in a region that's unclean with all these pig dwellers and pig pushers that was kosher in the sense, or kosherly illegal, not allowed. So understand this, the man's a long way from home, and maybe in your life you may have wandered. Well, if it's not you this morning, what don't you and I know? Don't we know people who have wandered a long way from home? They're far from God. And so this man has had all that is normal torn away from him, and he finds himself in a very, very distant land. Secondly, he's a long way from family. He's a long way from family. This guy's dwelling alone. He is shackled by chains. The local community, the guy was such a demoniac, danger, that obviously violent. He would cut himself. He would scream out and cry. Can you imagine the demon-possessed powers of this man? In fact, the Bible tells us right here in Mark 5 that the magnitude of the demonic possession was so great that the demons had a collective name for themselves, and it was Legion, for we are many. This man was horribly possessed. A long way from home, a long way from family. The man was banished from all the things that would be normal and that he would love and that would be sane. Sanity had been removed. We don't know why the man was in the condition that he was in. We don't know how he got there. We don't need to know. We just know this, that when we're not following the love of God and the direction of God, just like a rebellious child, we can get into tremendous trouble and wind up in destruction. As Christians, my plea to you this morning is, this place is an awesome testimony of the Egyptian Empire, yes, Greek Empire, Roman Empire, the Byzantine Empire, absolutely yes. But you know what? Those things are gone. The gospel message that invaded Scythopolis, Bethjian, here, that same gospel message is what liberated us as Christians. And so now it is the Lord that does a tremendous work in our lives to tell this message to the rest of the world that is around us. And so some people might think today, well, you know what? Pigs, people, unclean things, don't want to get near them. Christian, listen, please. You've heard me say it before. I want to say it again. Your Christianity is far more resilient than you think. Your being the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, God wants to take you and your faith to tremendous places. So the man was a long way from home. He was a long way from family. And then he was also a long way from hope. I can't imagine. How did this guy eat? What did he eat? We know that he was naked. We know from the other Gospels that he had a companion of some sort. There were two men demon-possessed. But we only hear in Mark's Gospel about this man and his salvation. But what kind of hope is there if he's with someone who's demon-possessed as well? What a horrible world. You know, you can be in a life full of people. You could be in a world, you could be in a room full of people, and without God's love in your heart, without the forgiveness and knowledge that comes through Jesus, you have this great sense of being afraid of isolation, or in fact called loneliness. Without Christ, we're often lonely. I remember, as I've said in times past, that over 30 years ago when I accepted Jesus, my life stopped being lonely. I remember trying to fill my life with all kinds of things, parties and appointments and activities, because I was afraid of being lonely. And for me, the moment that I gave my heart to Christ, that loneliness was gone. And amazing, now I don't seek to find isolation to experience loneliness. I seek isolation like you do, solitude, to be with the Lord. We're never alone. This man was without hope. Here's the part that absolutely blesses my heart. We know for a fact that Jesus got in the boat and he went across the Sea of Galilee and he had this encounter with this man, and he gets back in the boat and he leaves. Jesus had an appointment with this man. Today, you may know someone who has no hope in their lives. And the amazing thing is, if they have no hope, the Bible says Jesus himself said that he's come to give us life. He's come to give us hope. He's come to give us meaning. And so to think for a moment that Jesus would cross over the sea to meet one person, don't think for a moment that you have a friend or a family member that's too far from the love of God. You might say, well, I know people who are huge sinners. They're great sinners. Well, wait a minute. If a person is a great sinner, then they can be greatly forgiven, which makes them a great lover of God. So the Bible makes it very clear. You cannot sin so great that God's love can't forgive you. You cannot sin so much that Jesus' blood and love is not powerful enough to forgive you. The Bible says that all who will come to him, he will forgive and set free. The thing is that we need to come to him. But imagine the great vastness of this city that represents millennia of kingdoms, the magnitude, the commerce that took place here. As I mentioned earlier in the introduction, that agora that's behind me, there's little, we would call them in the old English realm, shingles. A merchant would hang a shingle out on his place of business. It would be maybe a cobbler would hang a little symbol of a shoe. Well, in these agoras, they had jewelry, they had bread, they had fish. How do we know? Because in the mosaics of the floor, the represented merchant would have his logo in the tile. And it was a very affluent place. This place was very, very affluent. Just to your right is a vast theater for outdoor performances. It's very beautiful. And they had much leisure here. They had much wealth and affluence. That can be both good and bad. You can become so affluent that you begin to think yourself as a god. You begin to think yourself as the world revolving around you. If what you and I have is not given to the glory of God, we could wind up really falling in love with the things we have instead of the one who's given us the things that we have. And so that's very important. This man, exiled from this region because of his life, and because of his decisions, he's now down in the Sea of Galilee area, and the man's demon-possessed. Terrible. Well, number two is this. Mark it down if you would. Is that he was in a terrible place, obviously. He was in a terrible place regarding his body. Think about the physical mutilation. This man was cutting himself. The scripture says that he cut himself until his blood was coming out of him. He abused himself. Why would a person do such a thing? Because number one, they're overwhelmed with a sense and with the fact that they are in a terrible place. They believe that there's no hope. They believe that nobody loves them. They believe that they've come to the end of the line. And because of this man being in such a terrible place, number one, by the Jews, it was a forbidden spot, not only because of the presence of the pigs and the region of the Gentiles, but it was a tomb. It was a graveyard. And the Jews had no relationship, no correlation with graves, with graveyard. That was considered an unclean place. This man is dwelling in an unclean place. His body is unclean. And his own lost soul, think about it for a moment, his spirit, as it were, was in such disgust. You know, people today, in a huge way, many among young people, because they were abused, because they've been mistreated, a lot of young children manifest disgust, anger, frustration with self-mutilation, cutting themselves, hurting themselves, which comes out of having been exposed to some form of abuse. This man was like that on a grand scale. On a grand scale. I want you to think about that today. Jesus is coming head on to meet this man. And secondly, under this point is this, he's in a terrible state of mind. This guy is crazy with demonic thoughts. What do demons think? Thank God I cannot tell you. I don't know. But have you ever seen somebody just out of their minds that in our culture today, we might either take them to a state hospital, drug them up, and say they're a schizophrenic or... And by the way, I'm not saying that all schizophrenics people who are suffering from illnesses of the mind are possessed. But there's no doubt about it that possessed people manifest those types of things. And that's something that, see, in our culture, we don't even want to talk about because we can't control it. Our culture doesn't want to believe in God. It sees people suffering like this man did, and it says, how do we deal with this? Well, we'll just throw some state money at it, some county money at it, and put it over here and deal with it that way. I want to suggest to you today that how do you and I not know that somebody walking down the streets of LA or Pomona or somewhere just babbling, yelling at them? Have you ever seen that happen? People yelling at themselves? People arguing with themselves? People arguing with a street pole? What's going on? This man in Mark chapter 5 was a demon-possessed man. He was beside himself. And he was in a horrible state of mind. And then finally, under this second point, it is this, that the man was in a terrible place of spirit. The man was absolutely lost. It's almost as though hell couldn't wait to not only seize control of this man, but to manipulate his life. This guy was breathing. This guy was eating in some way, shape, or form. He was functioning to some degree. But this man's life was right out of hell. The grip that the demonic spirits had on this man's life was horrible. He was in a terrible place of spirit. He couldn't think right. The man didn't live right. In fact, the only thing that we know that comes out of the man that is of a truth, isn't this remarkable? We read it a moment ago. The Bible says in Mark 5 that the demons in him cried out and said, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus, the Son of God?" Who knew this? The demons knew this. What an amazing confession from a demonic power. They knew who Jesus was. They know who Jesus is. And I think that's very powerful. And then point number three today in our study is this, that it's a terrible place. The man was in a terrible place of crisis. And I want you to follow me on this one. A terrible place of crisis. And before we look at it a little bit closer, I want you to think for a moment that you and I know people who are in a terrible place of crisis. And when I say that, I want to say it with a positive sign, with a plus sign. Why? Because the people that you and I know, neighbors, family, friends, they're going through situations and they're going to intensify that they are thinking, my life is over. Because they've put their value in a kingdom or in what man can do, when it comes to an end, when the earth moves like it did here in 749, and that the power of the earth shaking shuts down everything, closes the commerce, scares people to death, some people are killed, the presence of empires here evaporate. What are we seeing in the world today? People's wealth evaporating, stability evaporating. You can either take that and let it completely control you and rule you and cause you to give up. You can be in a terrible place of crisis, and much of the world today is in a state of crisis. What are you going to do about it? You say, well, there's nothing can be done. It's beyond hope. No, that's not true. What you're actually saying is the state of crisis that you're in, that I'm in, or the world is in, we will either choose to look up to God or we'll look to man. We've already looked to man. It doesn't work. The empires of the world crumble. The empires of our making fail. But when we look to the Lord, there's strength. And I want to challenge you. I believe that your neighbors and your family members today are more open to the gospel now than ever before. You see, Jack, they've never been cussing more. They've never been drinking more. They've never been more angry. All of those indicators, those are indicators announcing that their world is in a crisis and that they are in a place where, number one, mark it down, they need to meet Jesus head on. Meeting Jesus head on is everything. That man met Jesus head on. So did the demonic world. Jesus had an appointment and met that appointment. Jesus met the man where he was. Jot that down for number two under this point, that Jesus met the man where he was. Jesus came and rescued him in the midst of his crisis, in the midst of his situation. You need to remember that. We are agents of God's love today, of the Word of God. And we need to get the Word of God out like never before, by using every bit of means possible. And so this message, it may be evangelistic to someone who's in the congregation right now, somebody who's listening or watching. Maybe you're listening to this and you're saying, man, you're describing my life. I was aimless, or I am aimless. I go from bar to bar, or from weekend to weekend. I go from person to person. And, you know, I may not be demon possessed, but I'm trying to possess myself with things that fill the void in my life. The void in your life cannot be filled. It cannot be filled but by God. That's what this whole location speaks about. Scythopolis, Bethshean, became a launch point to the Roman Empire's Decapolis. The Bible tells us, Jesus told the man, go home and tell your friends. Christians, that is our command today. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, go ye therefore in all the world and preach this gospel. That man came from that location, just to my right, to your left, and he came back home. And he preached what happened to him in his life, meeting Jesus face to face. Jesus met him where he was. And then finally, we'll end right here with this, is that Jesus, meeting Jesus, changes everything. It changed everything in the man's life. It changed everything in my life. It completely changes things. And there are people on this tour. Imagine, we are here with family from church on this tour. And some of them couldn't not only imagine not ever even knowing God, they could never imagine being in Israel. They couldn't imagine being on this tour. They couldn't have imagined this. Something changed in their lives. Complete change. Why? This is absolutely essential. Jesus changes everything. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that he makes all things new. What is old, he takes away. And he creates all things new in our lives. Down deep inside, you know that it's something that all of us crave and yearn for. How many of us, as we get older, say, boy, if I could live life all over again, I would. And I would change this. I would do this, or I would not do that. Jesus is the life changer. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 says that he makes all things new. He goes on to say that Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us that we might receive the righteousness of God. That is through Jesus Christ. So I want you to consider that today. Meeting Jesus changes everything forever. This is an amazing spot. To think that the disciples, when I say disciples, you think about those who became disciples. The word is disciple, to follow, to mimic your teacher. This man came home here. And from Scythopolis, the head city of the ten, we know from the book of Acts the gospel spread. Later on this afternoon, do a little word study on Decapolis, the ten cities. Look what happened. One man gets converted to Christ, goes home, and changes his local world. But maybe beyond that, huh? We're here right now talking about a man, we don't even know his name. His life so radically changed. He came to this great city that seemingly he would have no effect upon. But the gospel in him changed everything. Meeting Jesus changes everything. Have you come to that place, or do you know someone who needs to come to that place of saying, Lord, I'll give you a try. I'm going to ask you to forgive me of my sins. I'm going to ask you, Lord, to take away the life I'm living, to change my life. I want to go from pigs and maybe following people to praise. Jesus said to that man, no, you're not going to follow me. What was Jesus saying to this man who he had an appointment with? I want you to go back home and proclaim the truth. Jesus not only converted the man, he gave the man his life's mission. That's awesome to me. And the man did it and changed his world. And you and I are called upon to do the same. That's why we encourage you, invest in missions. Invest in getting the gospel out. The hour is late to get the word out. We need to be getting it out like never before. It's so critical and so crucial. You make that decision today. In fact, two decisions need to be made today. Number one, if you're not a Christian, you need to become one today. I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm not asking you to become a member. We're not asking you for money. We're not asking you for your name. God knows all this stuff. We're not asking you to confess your sins to us. We're asking you to call out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask Him. Ask Him. That's a decision that you need to make today. And then secondly, there's a decision in the sanctuary that needs to be made. And that is for all of us who are Christians to be committed more than ever to get the Word of God, the gospel, out to the ends of the earth. We need to say today, you know what? If that man's life can do that, then I can do it. We have no excuses, you guys. We have nothing to hide behind. We need to come together like never before. And we've got some great, exciting things happening, not only in the church, but things that are growing outside of the church, ministry opportunities that are not only present, things to come. And it reminds me of this place that we're in. We need to reach the Beth Shians, the Skeetopolises of our life, of the world that God allows us to touch. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. What an amazing moment to be in this place, Lord, where you did such a tremendous work. And that through one man, the gospel being preached in this city eventually led to the shores of Israel, to the Mediterranean, up through Turkey, to the ends of the earth, all the way to Chino Hills, to right now. Thank you, Lord. And Father, may decisions today be made for Jesus. May people say yes. And if that's you today, right now, my friend, simply pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I come to you today and I ask you to wash me clean. Take away the filth of my life. Take away the possessions of my life, the things that control me, and cause me to follow you wherever, Lord, you may lead me, wherever you may send me. Thank you for dying for me on the cross and having been resurrected from the dead. I give you my life. And maybe you're a believer today and you're saying, Lord, I recommit my life to you. And I'm asking you to send me to my neighbors, to send me to my coworkers, to send me to my family. Lord, open the door of opportunity to be able to share the love of God to them. May I be obedient to this until the day of your coming. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. It's great to see you. And obviously coming up, we've got Palm Sunday. That's next week. We'll be together. And then, of course, Resurrection Sunday morning the week after. And Good Friday. Good Friday, my goodness, that's this coming Friday. Good Friday service coming up. And then we have Palm Sunday and then Resurrection services. So God bless you guys, and we'll see you back home real soon. And on behalf of the rest of the team, Shalom from Israel.